Our gospel for this day is the gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 43rd verse. This gospel, although our message is going to focus on the book of Ezra, this gospel has some themes that undergird themes that are found in the book of Ezra. So while we will not dwell on this gospel in the message, there are some themes here that are important for us to hear. Listen to these words that come from the Sermon on the Mount, and the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus proclaimed in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. This is the gospel of the Lord for this day. I invite you to please be seated. A short gospel with a powerful message. Something for us to ponder. Those themes are really found in the book of Ezra. And we're going to focus on that book. And as I said at the beginning, I hope you know a little bit more about Ezra when you leave than before you came today. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the words from the book of Ezra that Sharon read for us today. There are prominent themes that are important for our daily spiritual lives. So help us focus on the message, a message that is not often heard, but a message that is so important for each and every one of us every day. Lord, be with us that we might learn from you this day. In your name, amen. Now, I want to begin by being honest. I mean, not just honest, not just ordinarily honest. I want to be completely honest. How many of you can recite right off the top of your head 10 fun facts from the book of Ezra? 5? 2? Can you give me a single fun fact from the book of Ezra? If I told you that the name Ezra is actually a name, a book in the Bible, would you believe me? Well, good. Thank you. We're off to a good start then. That's a better response than I'd hoped for. Some of you are probably thinking, Ezra? Ezra who? Is that his first name? Is that his last name? Is that his whole name? Did he have a nickname? It's not really a Naperville name, so it must be a Bible name, right? We know it's not a Naperville name because we don't name kids. Well, of course, in Naperville, we've got grandparents who have grandsons by the name of Remy, so maybe this could be Ezzy. I don't know. Anyway, just for fun, and I mean it, just for fun. In order that we might learn a little bit more about the book of Ezra, just for fun, and I know you don't usually associate the word fun with the phrase I'm going to use next, just for fun, we're going to have a pop quiz today. And remember, it's for fun. Although I will tell you this, the stakes are high. The stakes are really high. If you do well, you don't have to get 100%, but if you do well on this pop quiz, if you do well, you will get a free ticket to the mission fair. So, just so you know how high the stakes are for you. And in order for us to do this, what I'm going to do is I'm going to post questions on the screen. After you've heard all of the questions, then there will be a musical cue that you will probably recognize. And during that time, you can record your response. My suggestion to you, for the sake of integrity, not that we're going to grade, but for the sake of your personal integrity, because we know that you are a congregation of integrity, and we want to maintain that high ethical standard, we'd like to encourage you to use your prayer and action guide. And because there's a place on the back for sermon notes. Not that you have to, but if you want extra credit, if that helps you get over the hump, you can do that. And that would be a way for you to record your answer with integrity. Spouses, you're not allowed to check on your spouse unless you've got a really good answer and then you want to show them, of course. That's not the answer to the first question, but you may feel like that when you see the question. So here we go. Here is the Ezra exam. Ezra was the lion keeper during the days of Daniel. How well did you pay attention last week when we studied Daniel? Ezra was B, the furnace stoker during the days of Daniel. Again, how well did you pay attention last week when we studied the book of Daniel? Ezra was the king's wine steward. Very important job. Ezra was D, a Jewish scribe. Time to record your answers. Is that enough time? Okay. Now, who with confidence can give me the answer to question number one? What is the answer? D. You know, I knew this was an intelligent group. I didn't realize just how intelligent. That is right. If you had D, you get a free ticket to the mission fair. So D is the correct answer. He was a Jewish scribe. He did a lot of recording of events so that the people could read about what God was doing in their lives. Two, there's only three, so don't worry too much. Second one. Ezra was also a contemporary of Nehemiah. A. B, a Jewish, in quotation marks, accountant, based on his obsession with lists and numbers. C, a stickler on the Torah. D, a Jewish priest. Oh, time to cue the music. Time enough? Okay. Now, who with confidence can say what the right answer is? If you said A, you're correct. If you said B, you're correct. If you said C or D, you're also correct. The answer is all of the above. You all get free tickets to the mission fair. This is working out well. Just a little background. He was a contemporary of Nehemiah. In fact, Ezra and Nehemiah were at one time one book. In fact, they were part of a trilogy because the author of Chronicles, Ezra and Nehemiah, is the same. It's a trilogy. Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, they were later on separated for the sake of how they dispersed those writings for the people. Another fun fact about Nehemiah, there are some Old Testament scholars that think he may have been the shortest man in the Old Testament. They referred to him as Nehemiah. I know, that's really bad. Now, of course, New Testament scholars suggest that Zacchaeus, that wee little man, may have been shorter. But Old Testament scholars who have delved into this say that, no, it wasn't Nehemiah. It was actually Bildad the Shuhite, who is the shortest of the group. I'm sorry, I'll move on. I apologize for that. Thank you for those of you who did endure, and the rest of you, I'll try to forgive you for your thoughts about me. He was a Jewish accountant. Yes, he was obsessed with lists. Among his lists were he had a list of all of the temple articles. He had a list of everyone who returned from exile. He had a list of the genealogy throughout the entire era of Ezra. He had a list of the heads of clans or family units. He had a list of those with mixed marriages. Mixed marriages was considered a sin. He posted all of their names. And then he found a way to get it into the Bible. Can you imagine having your sins recorded by name in the Bible? Talk about embarrassing. Anyway, he did that. He also had lists of those who helped rebuild the wall, a list of those who sealed the covenant, a list of the residents of Jerusalem and other towns nearby, and a list of all the priests and Levites. He was a stickler for detail and a stickler for the law of the Torah. And yes, he was a Jewish priest as well as a scribe. Okay, third and final question. I know most of you are relieved. Ezra accomplished A, chronicling the return of the exiles under Cyrus, king of Persia. B, chronicling the list of exiles who returned from Babylonian captivity. C, chronicling the rebuilding of the altar. And did I spell altar correct? Probably not. You'd think a pastor could get altar right. Anyway, altar is two A's in the temple. Chronicling the opposition to the rebuilding of the temple and chronicling the celebration of the completion of the temple. Time to record your answer. All set? The answer is, once again, E. Very good. You guys, give yourselves a big hand. Really do that. Well done. I take your applause as a sign of you're glad that that's all over with. No matter how well you did on the Ezra exam, there's three things I want you to remember about the book of Ezra. And just like in school, where you had pop quizzes from time to time, we're going to use a school mnemonic device to remember the three things from Ezra that are important to remember. We're going to use the three R's, okay? Now, in school, the three R's were reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is really contrived. Come on. Come on. Writing starts with a W, and arithmetic starts with an A, right? That's contrived, okay? Our three R's really do start with R. And our three R's from the book of Ezra are return, rebuild, and remain. If you remember those three R's from the book of Ezra, then the book of Ezra will truly take on significance and meaning for your life. Return, rebuild, remain. The three key themes from the book of Ezra. Do you remember a time in your life when you returned home after a very long time away? We had somebody at 8 o'clock who'd just come back from Europe last night. She wasn't in the same time zone as we were today, although she was present here. She just returned home. Can you think of a time when you just returned home? And do you remember your feelings? Do you remember what was going on inside of you when you finally were able to return home? As I was thinking about this, I was remembering a time back in college when I returned home for the first time after going away to college. Now, to help you appreciate this for me, I grew up in a small town in southern Minnesota, and I'd never been away from home except a week of Bible camp, okay? So to go away for a long, extended period of time and my parents said, Gary, we want you to wait until homecoming. That was 5 weeks before you come home. I tried not to take it personally. They knew that for my well-being, if I was going to stick it out in college, I was the oldest of all the kids. Mom had heard it was best to have your child stick it out. So I did. And I still remember how homesick I got during those 5 weeks, looking forward to the time when I could get back and be in my own bed and eat mom's cooking and play with my brothers and sister and see my classmates from high school. And I remember what it felt like to return home. Do you remember a time in your life when it felt so good to return home? I also remember when we brought our son Bobby home from the hospital. He was born, as many of you know, prematurely. He was 3 months early, weighed a little over 2 pounds, spent the first 2.5 months of his life in NICU. And I still remember the day that we brought Bobby home from the hospital and what that felt like. And you remember bringing Max home from the hospital, don't you? And how that felt to bring him home from the hospital. I want you to connect with the people of Israel who were in exile, longing to return home, eager to return home. And as you think about the exile, and you look at this word, exile, and if you turn your head slightly to the right, maybe squint a little bit, can you see between the E and an X a house? Can you see that? And if you turn your head to the right and look between the X and the I, can you see an arrow pointing as though the message is of returning home? And if you squint and you look down between the L and the E, and you actually with the E mostly, and you squint just right, can you see a picture of my grandson Remy? No, maybe not, but I'll bet you did see the house and the arrow, didn't you? Yeah. And when you think about returning home, think about those who were in exile. Such a long, long time. Last week we talked about Daniel. We talked about how the Babylonians took the people of Israel off into exile in the year 586/587. Some scholars debate the exact year, but that was 586, 587. They took them into exile. Babylonian King Nebuchadnezzar, do you remember that? With the fiery furnace, with the lion's den. Those are two stories from Daniel we kind of remember. And all that time, the people were longing to go home. They were a long time in exile. And the first part of the Ezra story is all about their return home. Some 50 years later, they were about to return home. And in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, which Sharon read so well, it says this: "The Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia." See, now there's a different king that's taking over the people of Israel. It was the king of Babylon, now it's the king of Persia. King of Persia makes this proclamation: "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem. And he has appointed me to send those people back." So he was returning the people, not all the people, but many of the people, to Jerusalem. And he was commanding them by God's order to rebuild the temple. So as a group, not all the group, the Israelites were permitted to go back home. Following God's instructions through King Cyrus, he was not a believer in their same God. He worshiped their God among many, many, many other gods, but he didn't believe in God Almighty as the one and only. But he ordered them to go back, and first thing he ordered them to do was to rebuild the altar. First thing they do was rebuild the altar. Why? So they could worship God and thank God for letting them return home. First thing they did was worship and thank God for letting them return home. And then they laid the foundation for the temple. And the governor of Judah at the time was a man by the name of Zerubbabel. Don't you love that name? If we were going to have any more children, I think I'd call him Zerubbabel. No, Ashay would never let that happen. Zerubbabel. You'll probably hear me say it a couple more times because I love saying it. It rolls off the tongue, Zerubbabel. Right, Sharon? It's so easy to read. Yeah? Zerubbabel. Anyway, he helped with the orders to put the foundation in for the temple. And he did it by having his priorities straight. First things first, the altar, then the footprint, the foundation for the temple. He moved forward with courage and conviction in spite of opposition, and they followed God's commands. And this is what Ezra chapter 3 proclaims: "With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love to Israel endures forever." Many of the people shouted with great joy about this temple about to be built. But many of the older scribes and family heads and priests who had seen the former temple, the temple that was built by Solomon, when they saw the foundation and how much smaller it was and how much less grand it was to be, they wept. They wept. So the shouts of joy were mingled with great weeping, so much so that the people listening in couldn't tell if they were crying or laughing because of the joy and weeping that was all mixed. Just when everything was going really well with the construction of the temple, moving ahead fast on a quick pace, then the peoples around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. Ever had a time in your life when you felt like you were really in sync with God? Things were going really, really well. And then all of a sudden there was some opposition. Suddenly something happened that seemed to kind of shake your foundation, seemed to really put a halt to what God was doing in your life. Ever had an experience like that? That's what the people of Israel were going through at the time. And so they were feeling this way. In fact, the Bible tells us that those who were in opposition were bribing officials, discouraging, even threatening the workers during the entire reign of Cyrus. That was going on way back when. This wasn't Chicago, folks. This was way back when. Things back then are so much the way they are today. Aren't they? So the project was delayed for some 16 years during this time of opposition. During that time, discouraged and weary from the resistance and all the fighting, the people began to focus on their own homes and their own lives instead of focusing on God's temple and God's will. In other words, they failed to keep the main thing the main thing. And God was not pleased. Speaking through the prophet Haggai, God challenged them about living in opulence while the temple of God lay in ruins. Give careful thought to your ways, God warned through the prophet. And then God brought a drought, a famine to the land to get their attention. God continued to speak through the prophet Haggai and also through, I'm going to say it again, Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and the people began to see the error of their ways. Haggai encouraged them to remember the covenant which God had established with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He had hinted at the glorious future promise that was going to be fulfilled by the coming Messiah. And in the second year of the reign of King Darius, God proclaimed through the prophet Haggai, I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to Jerusalem, and they will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. Now hear these words. Let your hands be strong so that the temple may be built. I will save you, and I will make you to be a blessing. Furthermore, I decree that if anyone defies this edict, God spoke through King Darius, a beam is to be pulled from their house, and they are to be impaled on it, and their house will be made a pile of rubble. He sounds serious. And so, 70 years after the initial destruction of the temple, it was completed. Interestingly enough, the Bible says this, the temple was completed and the people of Israel celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. This temple, not as grand, not as big as the original temple, lasted longer. Because the people who had returned and the people who rebuilt it remained faithful to the God who had always remained faithful to them. Return, rebuild, remain. The three primary themes in the book of Ezra. Do you see any connection between these themes and our spiritual lives? Ever been times in your life when you've been spiritually distracted and God invited you to return home, to return to the family of faith? So that God could rebuild your faith, make the foundation strong, invite you to remain faithful. I thought about that a lot as our team was working with Rebuilding Together in Aurora. The whole purpose this last weekend, the whole purpose of that is to reconstruct, refurbish homes so that they're transforming houses into homes, returning them perhaps to some of their former glory, allowing them to be rebuilt in a way that helps people experience the love of God in a tangible way and remain strong in faith. Those are all primary themes. I thought about that as I had some rich conversations with those who were working on the Rebuilding Together Aurora projects. And I saw faith being put into action. I thought about that theme, too, as I thought about those from here who are involved in bridge communities. Usually about this time, I would have pictures of these things up on the screen. But since you all have free tickets to the mission fair, You can go down to the activity center and see lots of pictures and hear lots of stories, because you see Bridge Communities, like we're building together, is all about helping people, in this case, Bridge Communities, people who are homeless, to return to a home, to rebuild family, to remain faithful to the God who's working in their lives. Likewise with Hesed House. I thought about that a lot with Hesed House, how they help people who are homeless return to a home setting, rebuilding structure of family, remaining faithful, important themes in the work we do. I thought about those themes as I thought about Men's Chirp, which is coming up real soon. It's all about inviting men and women for the fall retreat to return to a faith life that's strong, to rebuild places in faith that may have had foundations that have been shaken, and to help individuals remain strong in faith. I thought about that as I thought about the work that Good Shepherd did this week with Fusion. Dale, would you bring the banner out? This weekend, Fusion, our special needs ministry, went on the road to the DuPage Children's Museum in Naperville. They served some 300 families with special needs family members. And the whole idea of taking Buddy Break on the road was to allow people to return to a faith family, to rebuild any structures of family that have been shaken, and to remain faithful. You see, the statistics tell us that in special needs families, some 70 to 75% no longer have any involvement in church. Why? It's too hard. There's too many barriers, too much opposition. And so Good Shepherd is involved in Fusion Ministry, special needs ministry, to invite people to return to a faith family, to rebuild spiritual strength in their family, to remain faithful. It's so, so important. I thought about these themes this last week as I had two conversations with people who are brand new to Good Shepherd. And they are coming to Good Shepherd. And I said, tell me about why you're coming. And the one family said, when we entered Good Shepherd, it felt like we were returning home. We were welcomed. It was a place to which we wanted to come because it felt like home, spiritually speaking. And we wanted to rebuild our faith because we want to remain strong in our faith. And it was a rich conversation. Talked to a young man who came this week and he wants to be baptized. And I said, tell me about that. Why now? And he told me his whole faith story. And he talked about how he drifted away from the church. He'd never been baptized, never. And now was a time in his life when he wanted to be, and he entered Good Shepherd, and he said, I felt the power of the Spirit here. It felt like a spiritual home. And I couldn't ignore those themes when I was reading the book of Ezra, because the three main themes are all about inviting not only the Israelites to return home, but inviting all of us to return home, spiritually speaking. They invite us to have our faith rebuilt, as the Israelites rebuilt the altar and the temple. And they invite us to remain strong in faith, just as God is always faithful, remains faithful in our lives. Returned, rebuild, remain. The three things, the three R's you can remember about the book of Ezra. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you this day that you have invited us, like the Israelites, to return. To return back to relationship with you. Even as you, like the Israelites, rebuilt the temple, you rebuild our faith in those areas where the foundations might need some strengthening. And Lord, help us by the power of your Spirit to always remain in your word and remain in relationship with you, even as you remain faithful to us. In your name we pray. Amen.